And there's the tune and the voice of Barry White, which can only mean one thing on a Saturday on crunch time. It is time for Derm's Diaries. But we are getting a little more serious today, Robbo, as I handball over to you.
Yes, it is probably one of the more deeper areas of your life, Derm, that we're going to go to. So hopefully you can open us up as much as you possibly can. Is it fair to say, Derm, that Alan Jeans was a father figure? Can you describe the relationship with your own father who took his life, and I'm sure that had a huge impact on you. Those two senior adult men in your life.
They were chalk and cheese, and they almost, for various times in my life, shared fatherly duties. My own blood father, Dad, he was a rogue, an Irishman, a hard-drinking, very talented, but spasmodic personality.
Violent?
Very friendly, very happy, but the typical bog Irish turn to violence very quickly under duress. Yeah. Never experienced it in the home front, but, he could be very... very short wick after being the life of the party, the funniest man.
Did you detect that he was really proud of you?
And
your accomplishments as a footballer?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, and most young men will resonate with this, that when you're a young man, you tend to go to your mum if you want to manipulate someone, one of your parents, to get something, and I used to go to my mum. And my dad was such a, pardon French, but a hard ass, you know. He was a disciplinarian, he was a school teacher as well.
Secondary.
In fact, I still meet men who were, you know, now in their 60s. There was one time I got told of a story where none of the class would own up to something that one of the class had done. So he was just the most brutally powerful man. He was, I saw him lift up the car once while my mum and my brother changed the car wheel. He actually did the old
he was on the cartoons.
He lifted it. It was only the old Ford Cortina, but with the old, you know, rounded so it was a light car, but he still lifted up the car while the tire was changed. And anyway, these boys from the old Frankston Tech, before it became Frankston TAFE, they said your dad, he put his foot on one of the old seats once, held the back of it and ripped the wooden backing off, and then he said, right, line up the whole class, and he strapped the whole class with the back of the seat one after the other.
Out of prison for that now.
Yes. And you know what, everyone I've said it was a good whack, but we thought it was hilarious. He said one in, all in. So he was that way. That wasn't one of his more, you know, wilder moods, but he could get very, very violent. So I did see that in him, and I saw that as a young man. And then by the time you turn 12, 13, you know, that father sees a young man emerging, and then you switch from your mother, who wants to protect you from everything, to your dad, who wants to see you go out and learn about the world. Mm. So you change allegiances. And then when you're 14, 15, you get invited to a footy club, and you spend three nights and a weekend, you know, a full day each weekend. So you spend an awful lot of time outside of school hours at a football club. And within a year or so, being 16, I spent more time listening to the tutelage of life from Alan Jeans than I did in my own home life. And that happens with most league footballers.
Do you think that impacted on your father? Do you think he lost you a little bit?
No, not at all. No, it's just what you take in. No, he was very proud, and I think he might have even said himself, he's putting on some finishing touches which I'm incapable of.
He did love footy though, didn't he? You tell some nights after the coverage at Fox, it's my favourite couple of hours of the week. We sit down and talk stories. Mm. You tell a lot of stories about your father following your football around.
Yeah, they went to every game I ever. Yeah, And Slug and Scabs and Horny from Frankston used to come to every game, yeah.
Slugs and Scabs and Horny.
Yeah, well, Scabs, because he was a cover fieldsman, he ended up going 6 months of the year with these huge scabs on his forearm.
I don't know.
No, because he used to dive on the
Don't go into too much detail, because I don't want to talk about Horny.
James Horn, ripping blokes. Yeah, went everywhere with us. Yeah.
So your mum and dad saw every game?
Every game in Melbourne. Every game in Melbourne. Oh, they missed one. And it was early on when my brother was turning 21 and I was still 18 in 1983. Yep.
Don't take offence here. Some of your thuggish acts. What did your father say about them?
No, he didn't really like them. Even though
didn't
he was...
Really?
No,
he was a hard ass.
No, and he was as hard... One thing he did have, and one of the things I'm eternally grateful for all his misgivings and all his shortcomings, he tried to instill into me a great sense of justice. And that probably contributed a lot of the time. If somebody held me by the jumper, if somebody I felt cheated outside the rules, I felt that injustice and I reacted to it. And a lot of the times, most of the times, in the wrong way. But he didn't like seeing injustice in any form, shape or level because of his background, his family's background. He hated to see injustice, yeah.
Have you a uniquely sad family dealing with some of the things that have happened? You've lost your brother, you've lost your father, both to suicide. One day I interviewed you about it and I detected you sort of made a joke about it. You know, I've got to live life a live because, you know, us Bretons don't sort of get to old age. But, I mean, it's clearly something that I reckon in your quiet times you think about why and two in your family have chosen to go down that path.
Yeah, it's on the male side of the family, it's quite a tragic history. And they're all tainted with their own touches of brilliance. But it's quite a sad history.
Is it just in your immediate family or is it in your greater
No, it's family? Pretty well just in the bloodlines of the immediate family. And all the Brereton males they don't live too long. Yeah. They're not
Do you speak to your
mum? Actually not far off the age a lot of them get to, really? Yeah, in the past, yeah.
How old were they?
My dad was 67, my brother was 40-something. My grandpa, he was 75, and there are other family members who don't like me talking about my grandfather because they're his grandfather as well, and I have to respect that, yeah.
How did you, with your father, was it difficult towards the end? Was it, I'm not going to go over old Grand Doom, but you're a high-profile person dealing with... dealing with some family issues, and sometimes the family issues, they've got to stay within the family. That's why they're called family issues. And sometimes the issues get outside the family boundaries. Was that a tough time for you and for your mum?
Yeah, my mum was born from the other side of the street. My father's family was Roman Catholic, even though my dad became an atheist. He's joking, like me, he sort of jokes off the hardships of life. He said the Christian brothers beat Christianity out of him, and even though he joked it off and said it with a laugh,
it's a terribly sad comment.
He actually was 100% true. The Christian brothers beat Christianity out of him in Dublin. He was Roman Catholic. My mother was born from Protestant parents, and my grandparents refused to meet each other. Their parents, yeah. The two sides of the family wouldn't meet because of religion. And both
incredible, isn't it?
Went to their grave not me. So I've heard both sides of it. My mum's an incredibly strong woman, advised on occasions not to and that, but she did for love, you know.
And
so
she's still, your mum's still, where's your mum?
Yeah, mum's good. Mum's good. She's still incredibly strong. She'll be listening right now.
Well, she'd want to be.
She listens every day. Every time I'm on, she listens still, yeah.
She'd want to be incredibly strong, and she would have had some incredibly confronting moments and thoughts to deal with herself.
No doubt. And I do hear of people that suffer tragedy, and the one piece of advice I can give to family and friends and associates of people who are left behind, touched by tragedy, don't go out of your way to patronise them and say, I've been thinking of you, you poor thing. Make one sentence of condolence and then treat them as you normally treat them, because they don't want to dwell. They don't want their life to be shaped by the events of the tragedy that has just passed. That's something I learned. I didn't want everybody coming up to me and spending 5 minutes telling me how sorry they were, and that I just wanted them to shake my hand, nod, say their condolences in one sentence, and then move on. I couldn't, but that's what I wanted them to do.
It's quite an overwhelming moment for people in that situation, though.
It is, and there's no blueprint on what the correct thing is to do. The one thing, when my father took his life, I remember going to the footy club at Hawthorn.
What year was this? When was this then?
This was 1993.
Yep.
And I went to training, and Barry Gavin, one of my great mates, the physio at Hawthorn, I went into his room. He just put his hand on my shoulder, didn't say anything. That meant the world to me, and I just sat on a chair in the corner. And somehow, you know what football clubs are like? Somehow, 40 or 50 teammates in turn just walked past and either looked at me, nodded, or just shook my hand one by one, and not a word was said. And it was the best way to go through it.
This is a really incredibly tough question I'm going to ask you here. Mm. And I want to say that at the same time, it can be a really strong message for other people. And I want you to bear in mind that second one.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, the last thing you said something to your father that you regret.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can tell us what you said. If you don't want to, that's fine. But having said that and never been able to rectify it or change it or fix it, has that been something, Derm, that you've had to live with? Is that an issue for you? Or do you not go there?
It is an issue, and I know it was said in a moment.
Anger,
frustration, selfishness on my part. And when I hear of people who have been touched by tragedy and one of their family members is leaving us, or if I meet somebody who's leaving us and they're resigned to the fact, I always say hi to my dad when you get there and tell him I'm sorry. He got into trouble, my dad, and it came to a law matter, and he behaved poorly, reprehensibly, really, really poorly. And the last thing I said to him was, do the honourable thing and take your life.
And he
did. And I never got to take it back.
Was it damn, that's really sad to hear that. Because, you know, the anger and your disappointment made you say it. And then he took it literally and did it. And you know what? We'll leave it there. Your mother's probably sitting at home right now and she's probably shedding a tear, but it's been an incredible life story. I mean, the love you spoke to me one day about your brother, I think it was Paul, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He also took his own life, and the love you've shown for him. I mean, people see you and they think you're bulletproof and you walk around and you strut and we make jokes about you.
Flesh and blood.
Yeah, you've had some incredible hardship in your life, and thanks for sharing it.
Derm tells some stories on Friday nights just to change the mood a fraction. Unbelievable, Derm. That was amazing. But have you standing toe-to-toe, back-to-back with your dad, fighting fighting on the hill at the local footy game?
We went to watch.
Picking on his brother.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I went to watch my brother, my brother and my dad. And it's one of the, it shouldn't be, but given my upbringing, it's one of the great moments, memories of my life. I went to watch my brother, and he was playing for a team called Coringle. They were playing Piercedale. And anyway, I'm standing next to my dad. I've got to play Sydney the next day in a Sunday game. So Dad and I go along and we watch my brother Paul play. And he was, he threw himself around a bit. Wasn't a great player, but a very good athlete, but wasn't a great player. And anyway, the way he used to have an effect was to throw himself around, and some of the Beersdale supporters were yelling out, "You dog, Brereton," and that. And I bristled a bit, and my old man somehow exercised a bit of caution, just grabbed me by the wrist and went, let it go, son, let it go. So anyway, I bristled, and they kept at him and whatever, because he was throwing himself around a little bit more. And then one of them, with a few adjectives thrown in there, said, "You're as big a dog as your brother." And I've gone, that's it. So, the local footy, the hardcore group of 10 stand behind the coach's box with their cans in their hands. So, "You're as big a dog as your brother." That's it. So I walked over, plonked myself right in the middle of them, and started slagging off at all the blokes I knew from Beersdale who weren't bad blokes. And anyway, one of them insulted me without looking at me, and I said, "Turn around and say it to my face." And he turned around.
He turned around
and took a swing. And unfortunately for him, I was pretty sharp still then, and dropped him, and then gave him an extra one. And
Dad joined in.
And then the next thing I could... You know, when you can sense and you can hear something very familiar, I realised I was fighting back to back with my dad, punching heads. And then eventually the whole thing broke up after about 3 or 4 minutes. And my old man said, "Jesus, that was..." Oh, he threw in the odd joke. "Jesus, that was bloody good fun, wasn't it?"
You can hear his dad in the back. "Come here, you..." this one.
He was throwing him. That was very funny. A funny moment.
Now, hey. One of your best ones, too. Well done for opening up, pal.
Yeah, beautifully handled, Robbo. It was amazing to listen to, Derm, to be honest. Pretty emotional stuff. That's it for Derm's Diaries. That's it for Crunch Time.
What a finish.
And,
it's a hard act.
Don't know whether I need a fight or a drink.
Don't fight Derm.
We'll come back with some tips in a moment here on 1116 SEN.